just want to share quickly that we're going to have a baptism on August 13th, and a whole bunch of the folks that are actually in a Sunday school class right now, a bunch of our 9th, 8th, 7th, even a 5th grader, are going to get baptized, and also one who's here right now, Annie, is going to get baptized. Annie, would you stand up so we can just embarrass you? Hey. August 13th, 10 a.m. at the Chang's residence, which is, if you guys have ever been to one of our baptisms, except the one at Third Home, that's where we had it. If you need the address, I can give it to you. I'll send you an e-vite, send y'all an e-vite, but it's going to be that morning. So join us to celebrate their declaration of their commitment to Jesus. So hope you guys can all come. We have a whole bunch of other people making announcements this morning. So I kind of want to start with Dorcas, who's going to share something, and then Colette, who's going to share something, and then Ruby and Denise are going to come and share a little bit too. So start with Dorcas. Come on up, Dorcas. Let's welcome up Dorcas.
Dorcas.
Hi. Okay, so you guys probably noticed you have this. So one of our projects we wanted to have is a prayer team. And so if you guys have prayer requests, you guys can fill this out, and like you guys can be, you know, anonymous or not, or you guys can be as descriptive or vague if you want, because you know God will know what you're talking about. And but if you guys want us to contact you and just talk about what you want to be prayed for, you guys can fill out like your name and phone number, and someone will contact you, and you guys can just talk and pray. And also we have an email we set up. It's prayforme.hoc6@gmail.com, and you know, like throughout your week, if you can think of prayers, you can just email us, or if you just for prayers or anything, someone will be always checking and just like reading your prayers. And also, so basically, like, we'll have a prayer team, and they'll meet up once a week. And right now, all the interns are on it. And if anyone wants to be on it, they can tell me or anyone or any of the interns, and we'll, like, have you on the team. And so the team will meet up, like, once a week, and we'll just, like, read all your prayers and just pray for you guys. And, oh, okay, so the reason why it's shaped like leaves is because we're going to have a prayer tree, and then all your prayers will be on that, all your leaves will be on the tree, and everyone can see it. Yeah.
Props for Dorcas. So, actually, we're going to give you a minute to fill out your prayer tree leaf request. So there's pencils in the little cups on the tables at the ends here, and if you don't have a writing utensil, look around. I'm sure somebody can loan you one. Take a minute to think of a person in your life, and let me just suggest that if it's private, you may want to leave it anonymous. Just say, pray for my friend, or pray for my coworker, or pray for my family member, because they may not want that public. But God knows exactly who you're talking about. As Dorcas mentioned, you can put your name in contact and let us know if you want us to contact you about it. If you want it to be anonymous, you can absolutely leave it anonymous. We have Dorcas made a beautiful purple prayer box in the back that you can drop those off in. And we will cut out the leaves so your name will not be on it. We will cut out the leaf to put it on our prayer tree, okay? So it will be anonymous. But I think Dorcas and the interns are kind of lighting the fire under our church to do something that we've always cared about and wanted to do, to pray for all of you and for all of your needs. So please go ahead and take a minute to fill that out. We won't do this every week, but the prayer box will be there every week. We just want to kind of give you all a jump start in being a part of that. All right? When you're done, if you want to, actually, Alice, can you grab the prayer box and just kind of pass it around, and people can just drop their prayer requests in there? Thanks. Yeah. Okay, let me give you a minute to write. Comes around, go ahead and drop that in there. I'm going to ask Colette to come up and share with us her announcement. So, Colette, we're not going to clap for you because we're all writing, but we're clapping for you in our hearts. Yay! Woo! All right.
Okay, so another project that the interns are planning to do is like having a lunch on Sunday. And the reason why we're doing this lunch is because we kind of believe that lunch is really important because from what I experienced, it's really a great opportunity to talk to people that have outside of church and really help them feel comfortable. And it really helped me too when I first came here in ninth grade, how people were always very friendly and even offered me to buy lunch when I first came here. Yeah. And even like Michael, he said that one of his more memorable moments at church was Sunday lunch. And I always remember him playing bang with kids too. So that was also cool. Even meals were mentioned a lot in the Bible because it was how Jesus was able to get to know new people. I know it's kind of been tough going to lunch because food prices have like risen a little bit, and this is kind of inconvenient to go outside. So we're planning to have this lunch like maybe around Saturday, August 21st, like here at church. Yeah. And the lunch is free, but a small donation would be appreciated to give it to help support the lunch. But it's totally voluntary, so you don't need to worry. Yeah, and we plan to somehow make everybody be able to get involved in this. But if you have any other ideas, you can just ask me or contact me after church. And that's it.
All right. So that's going to be Sunday, August 21st. We'll have our, we're calling it our pilot lunch because we're going to have lunch together here. We're not going to encourage you guys to go out. And it's a pilot because we hope that with something that we can actually do every Sunday. It'll take some coordinating and some work, but I'm so glad that Colette, one of our interns, is on it. So thank you, Colette. So that's some of the stuff that's been going on with our summer interns. They've been doing a lot of learning, a lot of leading, a lot of working on these projects. So thank you, Denise, for coordinating our interns. The leadership team meeting today after service, if you guys are on the leadership team at 1:30, hope to see you all there. And the last announcement is kind of about our children's ministry prayer pledge project. As you guys know, the month of July, we've been focusing on families. We've been having messages and kind of different things going on related to how we follow Christ in our families. And so all month long, we've had this pledge project that we've been inviting you guys to participate in, all right? And one thing that I really want to emphasize is that all of us can be involved. If you guys don't have the pledge form that we've been giving you kind of week after week, there's a whole stack of them in the back there. Alice is my handout person today. Would you grab that stack and just anybody who needs one, Alice will be walking around and just raise your hand and you can grab one from her. On that pledge form, we're asking you guys to commit. All right, if you're a regular attendant to this church, if you come here all this time, if you're part of our church family, we want all of you to be involved, okay? And, you know, the thing about church is that nothing is really mandatory, right? Nobody takes attendance. You don't get docked points for showing up to church. Everything is between you and God, sort of. But you know, to me, that makes things actually all the more real. Because my teacher may dock points or my boss may cut my pay, but you know, kind of God cares about my whole person and my whole eternity. And so I think that if you have a tendency to count yourself out when it comes to church stuff, please don't. Because we need all of us in this. If you look at the pledge form, there's a place for a prayer supporter. There's a place for prayer support. There's a place for financial support. There's a place for different ways that you can volunteer time and talent. And I'm going to ask Ruby actually to come up and share a little bit about her thoughts about this whole project. She's been pretty instrumental in helping to make this happen. But what I want to say to you is, all of you who are here, please take this to heart, because I think God is asking you to be involved in helping our church to mature in the church He wants us to be. Some of the pledge amounts is as small as $3 a month, but that $3 a month is your contribution, and maybe for you that's a bigger deal than the whatever amount of a check that I could write from my vast riches. But I'm going to ask Ruby to come up and share, so let's welcome Ruby up.
Thank you, Paul, for giving me this opportunity to be part of the Children's Pledge Project. When we first came to the English congregation about 2.5 years ago, our family was one of the few families with young children. Our youngest son, Joseph, he was dedicated to the Lord at this church. Now this English congregation has 7-8 families with babies and young children. And more babies are on the way joining us later this year. So it's very exciting and encouraging to see how God has blessed this congregation. As a parent, I know our young parents here will experience many joys and pains as the children grow. As a church, I think we really need to work together with the Mandarin and Cantonese congregation to build a support group and to grow a loving nursery and children's ministry that will welcome families with babies, toddlers, young children, and older children to learn about God through our church. You know, Jesus said to his disciple, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So when the children are young, their minds and hearts are more open to God's word and God's calling. So as a part of the church body, I think we must welcome children to come to Jesus in concrete ways. I think giving of our time, prayers, talents and financial support is one of the best ways to show our love and commitment to God and to the children God entrusted to us in our homes and in the community around us. So Jesus is inviting all of you to get involved and be someone who will lead little children to come to Him. We need a lot of people to get involved. We need people to be godmothers, godfathers, grandmoms, grandpas, uncles and aunts, and big sisters and big brothers to the little children in this church and to the children in our community. So when Paul first talked about raising time, talents, and financial support for the children's ministry, I honestly was not very sure that our family can commit to additional giving beyond the regular giving. Since I'm a stay-at-home mom, we have to set priorities and make some choices on how we use our monthly income. With four kids, our living expense keep going up. You know, this summer I noticed we, our family easily go do a gallon of milk a day. Just the meal part of our food expense is about $100 a month. Our oldest, Leo, he already has braces. And yesterday at the kids' cleaning, dentist cleaning appointment, the dentist let me know that Helen will need braces soon. The summer swimming lesson costs around $250 per child. And it will cost around, you know, $750 to send Leo, Helen, and Tom to swimming lesson. We decided to just let Leo and Helen take the lesson this summer. You know, Paul, perhaps the church can build a swimming pool when we expand the children's ministry. I share these details with you to give you a glimpse of your future. If you are a new parent, kids are expensive. However, when it comes to the children's ministry pledge project, I know it's an investment for an eternity. Not only our children, your children will benefit from the children's ministry, we are potentially opening the door to many children and families in this community and lead them to know Jesus. Now, I encourage you to prayerfully consider the idea of setting aside, saving perhaps $1 a day or $2 a day or whatever amount God may place in your heart toward building up the children's ministry at Six Home. I think for our investment of our time, prayers, financial support, and talents, someday Jesus will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." God bless you all for your generous and faithful giving. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruby. Wow, I was pretty moved by that, actually. I was surprisingly moved. I actually knew what she was going to say, and I still started. Every time I hear that thought that Jesus will one day say, well done, good and faithful servant, that always swells me up a little bit. I kind of imagine that I'm a waiter in heaven, and I say, Jesus, how do you want your steak? And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to actually give you a minute to fill out those pledge forms. The reason why is because we wanted these pledge forms by this week, and so far we've gotten one. As you fill it out, I'm asking Denise to come up and share a little bit to give you some food for thought. A pledge is a commitment. It's a commitment of something that you're offering for the future. I know that you guys are in different places financially. I am in a certain place financially. I don't feel like we have a lot. I'm a graduate student. I am working for the church. Elaine's a teacher. We don't make a ton of money, but we make enough. And yet, somehow, in the last, I don't know, 2 months, I would guess that I've probably spent maybe $500 or $600 on junk, entertainment, air conditioning bills for cooling the home when we're not even there, stuff. And Denise has a really good idea for how we deal with stuff. And I want her to share it now as you fill this out. But sorry, Denise, I'm giving you an audience that's distracted. But the reason I want to say that to you is I want to encourage you guys, as you think about pledging, you may say, I don't really have anything. But to be creative, if God is calling you to give for a purpose like this or for any other purpose that he has for you, whether it's some cause or missions or support missionaries or whatever, to be creative about how you use your finances. So we're kind of going long here on our announcements. But I'm going to ask Denise to share as you guys fill this out, okay? Come on up, Denise.
Hello. Okay, so what we have is we have this idea called Six in Common. Is that? I think that's the name that it's gonna we're gonna go by, and it's basically similar to Craigslist, but it's like a Craigslist idea just for this church. I feel like individually we have like a lot of stuff, or we have like maybe we not even have that much, but I figure that if we could all pull in our resources in terms of like things that we have, like my family has a huge movie collection, Paul has a huge book collection, and if you like movies or books, like you could just tell us what you like and we would like gladly share what we have with you guys. So whether it is like you guys have tools and like another person needs tools, then you know, you could relay that information and we could just borrow things. So imagine like, you know, again, like I was saying, like individually we may not have a lot, but if we all put in like what we have for use for like the whole church, then we just have everything. So this is going to look like, I think we're going to have a website, and it's in the works, but our website really consists of like, again, the items that we have and that we're willing to donate and share. And yeah, and this way, this idea will help us in terms of like saving money and cutting costs, and again, using that money for other things like funds and children's ministry and other things. But yeah, I don't know.
Thank you, Denise. All right. Those pledge forms, you can give them to me anytime. I will not hound you for them, nor will I look at you funny if I don't get one from you. But I'm glad that you've had some time. If you didn't get to fill that out, or if you filled it out and you just want to take it home and think on it, I encourage you to do that, okay? We don't want to pressure any of you or guilt trip any of you. And really, everything is between you and God. But we want to just kind of give all of us the opportunity to be part of our church family together and to participate in this thing that we're doing. Okay? We've been talking about family all month. I can't think of anyone better to wrap us up, and I'm excited about what she's going to share about. And Pastor Krista Tiny was here a couple months ago. Let's welcome her up for today's message.
Good morning. Gee, thanks, Paul. You gave me a lot of time here. No, I'm just teasing. Actually, I was thinking, man, I could probably reduce this sermon into two sentences, and if it comes down to it, I'll get there. But that's all right. I'm really happy to be here. And you know, this Sunday is actually, I've been speaking all month. I used to work at First Chinese Baptist Church, and I stopped working there at the end of March. But since that time, God has been very gracious to me and just provided me a lot of speaking opportunities. And so the month of July, I spoke at two retreats and been preaching all over the place. And so this is the last one for a little bit, so I was kind of looking forward because this is the, you know, the finish line. But one of the retreats that I spoke at the beginning of July was on grace. And I love that topic. I could talk about grace forever. And, you know, just the fact that grace is unmerited favor, undeserved love. And so at this retreat we spoke at, I had to give 7 messages, which is kind of insane. But I spent the first 3 messages talking about how much grace that we have received. That's really our just whole life in Christ is based on grace. And then I figured out, you know what, we've been talking so much about how much we have received, and I thought, well, how much do you give? Are you a gracious person? Okay, we have received so much from God that is unmerited and undeserved, but then the question goes, well, do you give it back to other people? And I did a whole message just about being a gracious person. And Paul emailed me, he's like, oh yeah, come and speak to our church, and we're talking about family. And I mean, you know, when I thought about that, I'm like, well, I don't know why I would talk about family. I mean, I'm not married, I don't have kids. And so I was like, well, you know, it's the last message of your series, so maybe if I do something different, that'll be okay. And he's like, oh, whatever God has. And I'm like, okay. Well, so anyways, as I was preparing for this retreat, and for this message, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, in our family relationships is probably where we need grace the most. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I probably treat strangers better than sometimes I talk to my parents, or sometimes I talk to my brother. And so, you know, when we're talking about grace-filled relationships, it's about, do you give grace to your parents? Do you give grace to your brother or your sister? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, what God has to say about family relationships. Let's pray. Lord, I'm really thankful for the opportunity that you give to me to be here. I pray that it's your word that goes forth and will accomplish your purposes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians, New Testament. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read from the NIV. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, the Ephesians was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, and beginning of the letter, he's talking about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. In fact, this is the book that I preached when I talked about grace, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And so now in the second half of the book, though, Paul talks about, well, how do you live this out? Okay, we have all these spiritual blessings in Christ, but now how do we live this out, and what does this look like? Now, today I want to focus mostly on child and parent relationships. And so first we're going to focus on God's word to children. Now, when I say that, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot of children who are paying attention to me who could understand what I'm saying, but we are all children. Okay, we have to look at that. When we see this verse or this passage, we kind of have to look at the fact that we are all children of someone, right? All of us have parents, or even if they're step-parents or adopted parents who have adopted us, we all have parents. We are all children. And so what is Paul saying? He says in verse 1, children, obey your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. So all the parents in the room are smiling. Yes, this is what God says. You know, so when your child grows up and can understand, you say, this is what the Lord says. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Well, what does obey mean? Obey means, if you look in the dictionary, it means to comply with or to do as ordered. What's interesting is when you look at the Greek word, now I'd always take all this research from someone else who's more smarter than me, because I don't know any Greek. But the Greek word is a compound word of two words meaning under and hearing. Okay? And so what it is to obey is to be under someone, hearing them. Okay, so to obey is to be under someone to hear what they're saying. Now to honor, this is from the Ten Commandments, right? Honor is to ascribe value and worth and respect, to hold in high regard. Do you obey your parents? Did you obey your parents when you were growing up? Do you honor your parents? Do you ascribe value and worth to them? Do you respect them? Do you hold them in high regard? Now, why does God want us to obey and to honor our parents? And he gives three reasons. Well, the first one he doesn't say, which is, why does God tell us to obey? Because God tells us, because he says so. All right. Now that's just basically what my dad always said to me. It's like, well, why should I do this, Dad? Because I said so. Because I'm the dad. All right. Now God is good. He doesn't just say, okay, I want you to obey because I say so. He gives us some pretty good reasons here. Why does God tell us to obey? The first one is that you're in the Lord. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now what this doesn't mean, it doesn't mean, well, you only have to obey your parents if they're Christian. Okay, oh, my parents aren't Christian, I don't have to obey them. That's not what it means. It means if you are in the Lord, then you need to obey them because you are in the Lord. Now, if they're in the Lord, that's great too. But you must obey because you are in the Lord. Now, the second reason is that you want to obey is that there is a promise that goes with it. In verse 3, it says, you know, verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So there's a promise there. If you obey your parents, that brings good things. Now what I believe is, it's not so much if you are obedient, that means God will bless you. But what I believe this is saying is that when you have an obedient character, when you are trying to follow God's word, and so because you're following God's word, you're going to be obedient to your parents, you're going to honor your parents, that kind of character brings blessing in your life. Okay? And so as you are that type of person who follows God's word and respects and honors your parents, that type of character will bring blessings into your life. Not so much, oh, I obey my parents, so God, you should give me stuff. Okay? It's not about that. But the third reason why God tells us to honor and obey our parents is because he says, this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what God wants. Tim Keller, who is a famous author, he wrote, obedience is about trust, not about logic. Because if you understood why to obey, then it wouldn't be about relationship. And when I read this, it really struck me, because oftentimes when we are told to obey, we always want to know, why should I obey? Why should I obey? Why should I obey? But when Tim Keller wrote that, I was like, wow, obedience is about trust, so that when someone tells you to do something, you do it because you believe that what they're saying is true. Right? A lot of times why you don't obey, my guess is because, I'll get into that a little bit, but partly is that you know that you're not quite sure if what they're telling you is true. Why should I do what you're telling me to do when I'm not quite sure if you know what you're doing? Right? But when you understand and you believe that the person who's asking you to do something totally knows what they're doing, then you're more inclined to do it. Okay? So the three reasons why God asks us to obey and to honor our parents is, one, is because that we are in the Lord, so we want to follow God. Two, there's a blessing there from the character that we have from being obedient. And three, that it's just right. That's just how God wants us to behave, because obedience is about trust, not about logic. Now, how though? How do we honor and obey our parents? Now, this is more geared for children and teenagers, okay, and I'll get to the reason why. But for children and teenagers, how do you obey your parents? You do what they ask. ASAP. Okay, you do what they ask as soon as possible. Because obedience, and this is Christo's quote, because obedience is about respect, not about logic. Okay, obedience is about respect, not about logic. Because I know your people, your parents' age. I mean, I'm probably your parents' age for some of you. I know that sometimes your parents are unreasonable. Okay, sometimes parents are not logical, but you obey out of respect, sometimes not logic. I'm a video game player, so I know that sometimes when you're playing a video game, you are right in the middle of the level. And you can't just shut it off, and you have to start all over again if you shut it off, right? Or if you have to pause or whatever. And so that's at the exact time when your parents are like, come to dinner, right now. You know, shut that thing off. Or they're saying, oh, take out the trash, right now. And you're like, but mom, I'm right in the middle of the level. She's like, I don't care, right? And so for me, when I hear a parent saying that to kids, I tell, hey, excuse me, they can't stop right now, because then they have to start all over again. Give them 5 minutes. But anyways, so if you're a child or a teenager, what obedience is you do what they ask as soon as possible. That's obedience, plain and simple, okay? Now, again, the second part of how you obey your parents, you gotta check your attitude, all right? And I know that when I was growing up, or when I see this in the youth group that I work with, I mean, kids and parents, oh, attitude, right? Oh, I see your parents, and I see how they ask you to do something, and you give them attitude. Oh, you know, and they just have this really negative vibe sometimes, not you, but, and it's like, what's that all about? Sometimes I don't understand what's going on. But, again, it goes back to being faithful to God versus being right. Okay, sometimes, you know, I'll say it again, I do see it. Sometimes parents are wrong, sometimes. And sometimes parents are unreasonable, sometimes. But you obey because you want to be faithful to God. Okay? You obey because you're being faithful to God. And it's not about being right. It's about being faithful to God. But also, how you obey and how you honor your parents is communication. Treating them with grace, right? Respect, compassion, kindness. Because I'm not at FCBC anymore, I had to move back in with my parents to save some money. Part of that is really great, you know? But part of that is like, oh, my dad does some things that really annoy me. And going back into that whole situation, a family situation, and thinking about that. And now it's like every time my dad does something annoying, is I have to pause. And what I've noticed is that God has given that opportunity for me to pray for him. They are not Christians. And so every time my dad does something annoying to me, God reminds me, pray for him. Okay? And so to treat our parents with respect, to honor them, is yes, you have to obey them, you do what they say. Secondly, you have to check your attitude. It's not about being right, it's about being faithful to God, but it's also about giving grace to them, forgiveness, praying for them. Because even if they are Christian already, they still need your prayers. All right? But fourthly, I do want to mention that there are times when you cannot obey or honor your parents, and this is for adults only, okay? This is for when you are over 18. When you are an adult, there are times when you cannot obey or honor your parents, and I'm going to credit Chip Ingram, who is a pastor of Living, he does a podcast called Living on the Edge. He did an excellent series on the Ten Commandments, but he said there's three reasons why you cannot obey or honor your parents. The first one is salvation. If your parents say, no, you cannot become a Christian, you cannot honor that, okay? Because Christ asks more of that for you than just pleasing your parents. Again, this is adults. Secondly is service. If God calls you to serve, then you must follow God. You know what? Your parents are not. If you say, you know what, Mom, Dad, God has called me to Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan, you know what your first thing your parents are going to say, even if they're Christian? Absolutely not. No way. But if God is calling, you must follow God. And the third thing that you must follow God, you cannot obey or necessarily honor your parents, is in marriage. This is after you're married, okay? Your wife, your husband comes before your parents. Because a man must leave his parents and cleave to his wife. And I know, sometimes parents trying to get in the way of marriages. But that's one time where you have to say, my commitment to my wife, my commitment to my husband is more important than what you are asking of me right now. Okay, but this all takes wisdom. And this is why I think this is for adults. Because when you are a child, when you are under still your parents, you don't have that responsibility yet. Okay? But also, too, when you are an adult, you do need to leave. You need to be able to make decisions as an adult. And you need to depend not on your parents, but start depending on God. All right? So we looked at the first thing, is just God's word to children. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. We looked at why. We looked at how. Now we want to look at parents. Okay? Now there's a clear command and responsibilities from the Lord for parents. In verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now all the kids are smiling. Okay? In the first verse, all the parents are like, yes, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Well, in this one, verse 4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Or other versions, it says, do not provoke your children to anger. I remember I was teaching this passage to a Sunday school class, and one of the Sunday school kids said, you know what, I would be happy to obey my dad if he didn't exasperate me. But what does this mean? Now this does not mean giving your child everything they want or spoiling them just to make them happy. Alright? It doesn't mean that, well, you know, Dad, you're making me angry and that's not what God wants. Or you're not giving me what I want and that's, you know, you're not supposed to exasperate me. Alright? You don't use the Bible for that, alright? But what it does mean is, I'm going to quote here from a commentary I read. It says, fathers provoke their children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another, by always blaming and never praising, by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline, and by showing favoritism in the home, by making promises and not keeping them, and by making light of problems that to the children are very important. That is how you exasperate or you provoke your children. And that's not what God wants you to do. Are you consistent? Are you being a good witness of Jesus Christ? Are you being reasonable? Are you being trustworthy? Now, remember I quoted Tim Keller. He said, obedience is about trust, not about logic. Well, the question then goes to, are you a trustworthy person? So if you are asking obedience from your son or daughter, are you trustworthy that they should obey you? And I can't spend time here to go into the theology of Santa Claus or the tooth fairy, but because I'm not a parent and I haven't had to deal with that, I don't know if I would go there. Because, you know, you're kind of teaching your kid a lie. And so what happens when they do come up and they do think, oh, you know, I never knew that or whatever. Then they're like, well, what about Jesus? Is he just a fairy tale too? And so, you know, maybe you've discussed this or you will discuss this or whatever. But you have to be trustworthy. If you say you're going to do something, and you got to do it. Because if you are trustworthy, then you are being worthy of being obeyed. And of course, it's not about just that, as we talked about. But as a parent, yes, it's hard to obey you if you aren't trustworthy. So can you be trustworthy? So we're not supposed to provoke, as parents, you're not supposed to provoke or exasperate your children. But what are you to do? And Paul gives very specific things. He says, bring them up, nurture them, bring them to maturity, in the training and discipline or instruction of the Lord. Now, I already looked through your whole month already. You probably already got good instruction about that. Okay, so I'm not going to repeat myself. Plus, I don't have kids. So you listen to what everybody said about how to raise your kids up in Christ. Now, well, actually, you know what? Not just listen. Go and do it. All right? You probably heard really good things. What's your plan that you're going to put that into action? All right? But the second thing, and the third thing, whatever, I forget. I'm losing track. Don't take it personally. Don't take parenting personally. And this is what I have seen from my friends. And actually, this is what I've experienced. So even though I don't have kids, I have a dog. All right? And I do call her, you know, I consider myself her mommy. And but what I've noticed is that when I take my dog Kyrie, her name's Kyrie, for a walk, you know, she's really great with people. But when she sees other dogs, she goes nuts and she starts barking and she's like foaming at the mouth, and I'm so embarrassed, right? I'm just like pulling my dog away, and then the looks that other dog owners give to me, like, what kind of, you know, what kind of owner are you that you have a dog like this? And I am mortally embarrassed. And so when I'm going walking down afterwards, I'm like, oh, these people probably think I'm the worst dog owner ever, right? Or when I'm approaching, I see some people walking with their dog, you know, in the distance, I'm like, oh no, oh no. But I also know as parents that you take things personally, that if your kid is having a tantrum in the store, you're deathly afraid that everybody's thinking, oh my God, what kind of parents are these? You know, or if your kid misbehaves in class, you're thinking, oh my gosh, what is all the other parents thinking about me? But you cannot take things personally, because you can't worry about what other people think. When you are a parent, you have to do your best to follow the Lord. And you know what? Your kid, your dog, is going to have their own personality. It's not about you, okay? Yes, you do have to discipline and you do have to train. But if you start worrying about what other people think, it's over, okay? Yes, you do need to raise your children up right, but you can't worry about what other people think. And last point in terms of how is grace. You have to give yourself grace. You have to give yourself grace, and then you have to give your kids grace, right? You have to be patient with them. You have to bear with them. You know what? As a parent, you're going to have to forgive your kids, whether they are being bad just because they're being bad or whatever. But there has to be forgiveness there as well, too. And then you have to pray, right? I'm sure you've already started. Hopefully you've already started if you're already praying for your kids. And there's a book called Becoming a Praying or The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy Omardian. And actually, I bought that so that I know how to pray for the youth. So I would pray those prayers as a parent would pray just for the youth that I used to minister to. Prayer is super important. You know, the family is God's gift to you, and that's grace. You didn't plan to have this kid necessarily, or you didn't plan somebody's your child's personality. I mean, who they are, that's just a gift to you. You didn't necessarily plan your parents. I mean, they are a gift to you. And it doesn't mean that it's easy, but this is the family that God has chosen for you, and He wants you to live in it. Now, here's the two-sentence sermon that you have to remember, all right? Number one, you are not a perfect child, but Christ was. You are not a perfect parent, but God is. You are not a perfect child, but Christ it was. And you are not a perfect parent, but God is. And that's the foundation of grace-filled parenting or grace-filled relationships. And so when you realize that you're not perfect, that you've not been the perfect child, you've not been the perfect parent, confess, repent, receive forgiveness and mercy, and you live in God's love and power and grace. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much just for all the children and parents out here that I know for myself, oh, I'm so not the perfect child. And I know that when I was growing up, my parents probably worried so much about me and my life, and probably are still worried about me now in terms of my financial future or my career. But I thank you for them, even though they don't know you yet. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see you. But I pray, Lord, just for all the relationships that we have right now, whether as children, whether as parents, God, that you would help us to love one another with the love that you have for us, that you would help us to forgive one another as you have forgiven us, and help us to be the family that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.